Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I missed you all last week. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know I did. It was a really wonderful, peaceful time around the table with my family and closest friends. And it is always just such a nice thing to do, especially after I have come off of feeding 1,000 people 2 days earlier. You know, sitting down around a table of just 24, holding hands, oming together, bringing in the spirit of giving thanks is just really delicious. And I just savor that moment every year. And luckily I have many opportunities in between to also savor. So, it's all good, but I hope you all had a wonderful time and got to, soak up some of that deliciousness. Lots of things going on. Of course, I am already gearing up for my Christmas event, Feeding the Homeless. When I do these events, I always do it on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or whatever the holiday is. It's always that Tuesday because the River Fund Food Pantry that I partner with, they have a permit to be in Rufus King Park on Tuesdays. Every other week, they bring a mobile food pantry there. So I just come as an added element to their mobile food pantry where I give out a hot meal. And for Thanksgiving, we fed about 1,000 people, 600 in the park, and sent enough food for them to distribute to some other food shelters and pantries on their own after they left the park. And we'll be doing the same for Christmas. So if you're interested, shoot me an email, Bhavani@IEGreen, or look out for my emails that I send out. You can sign up to get my emails at my website at iegreen.com. And I'll give you the information. You know, we have a doodle sign-up sheet so that I can space out all the volunteers so everyone doesn't come at once. And it's a real happening. We also need Christmas carolers. We, you know, put on some Santa helper hats and go around the park Christmas caroling to everybody online. And that's also a really nice thing while we pass out some hot cider. So if you can make it, we'd love to have you be a part of it. Lots and lots of things are going on this time of year. It's always busy. Tonight, for instance, there's four different things I'm going to tell you about that you can do. Starting with a screening of a documentary called Triple Divide this evening at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. And that's a film about fracking. It's being shown through the organization New Yorkers Against Fracking. However, my understanding is it's a really middle-of-the-road fracking movie, really trying to teach people about the fracking business from both sides so that you can make your own decision. So if you can make it to that, that starts at 7:30 this evening. Also this evening, Dr. Hallowell, who has this great book called Crazy Busy, Overbooked, Overworked, and About to Snap, Strategies for Coping in a World Gone ADD. That's happening tonight at 6 to 7:30 at the Waldorf School in Garden City. They're also doing a school tour starting at 5 if you're interested in the Waldorf School, which is a wonderful school in Garden City. I am a certified Waldorf teacher. I'm very passionate about the education that one gets over there. It's really based on individualism and creativity and learning through example. So it's really a great school. So if you have young children and have the means, go check that out as well. Also tonight, Slow Food East End is launching their Snail of Approval program with their first restaurant called the North Fork Table Inn, and they're celebrating right there in South Hold at 7 o'clock. You can still sign up for that at the Slow Food East End website. And it's $95 for members and $105 for non-members. And if you're a Slow Food North Shore member, you would get the same discount. December 4th, tonight also, Edible Brooklyn is having their quarterly carousel, which is a celebration of beer, food, and stories. That's taking place at the Bricks and Rye in Greenport. That's also from 6 to 8 tonight, and that's $5. December 9th, SoFu Descend is screening the film Fed Up. That's Katie Couric's film with Tom Colicchio, all about sugar and our addiction to sugar and how we have all been manipulated and little guinea pigs for the food manufacturers. So I saw that movie. It's really powerful, and I recommend everybody to see it. That's being screened at the Ross School in East Hampton. December 10th is International Terra Madre Day, and that is celebrating Mother Earth. And there will be celebrations, you know, going on throughout the weeks. We are celebrating on Tuesday night, December 9th, at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. We will be showing a film about Terra Madre, what it stands for, what it means, and showing over 50 slides from our most recent trip this past October to Terra Madre in Turin, Italy. Then we'll also have a Q&A, and we will have a reception highlighting many of the local Long Island foods that we want to savor and protect. December 11th, I am doing a cooking demo at the Cold Spring Harbor Library. It's one of my favorite classes called One Wok, Three Meals, where it's an opportunity for me to show you how you can use the same vegetables and just how you mix them up and what condiments you add to them and herbs and spices. You can come out with three very different meals. And when I have time, I actually do one wok and five meals because you can just go on and on. There's so many different food nationalities that you can highlight just by bringing in certain ingredients. And I will show you how to do that on December 11th. It's a free demonstration. They're asking just for a $5 donation towards the food costs. December 11th, Long Island Food Conference meeting, planning meeting, is happening at Hofstra University. And the Long Island Food Conference will be taking place April 25th at Hofstra. 2 years ago and 4 years ago, it was called the Long Island Small Farm Summit, and we've changed the name to the Long Island Food Conference. It's going to be a great, great event. Stephen Ritz will be the keynote speaker. Lots of workshops planned, lots of demonstrations, music, food. It's going to be a great event. So if you have the time and want to get involved in planning it, we are looking for people who have that time and passion to do that, and that meeting will be December 11th at Hofstra at 6 p.m. December 12th, organized by United for Action is organizing a film screening called Above All Else. That's at the Rutgers Presbyterian Church on 73rd Street and Broadway. And that starts at 6 o'clock on December 12th. December 17th, Slow Food North Shore, along with a slew of other organizations, Healthy Planet, Sustainable Malloy, the Sustainable Studies Program at Stony Brook, we're all co-sponsoring the film Cowspiracy, and that's a great film about the factory farming meat production in this country and some alternatives to that model. So come out for that. There will be a reception following that as well as a Q&A. December 22nd and 23rd is when we are feeding the homeless at IE Green. You can get in touch with me about that. January 10th is the NOFA Massachusetts Winter Conference coming up, and that's at Worcester State College. And January 23rd to 25th is the NOFA New York Winter Conference. All really good stuff. January 21st is the first annual Food Tank Summit. That's going to take place at George Washington University down in D.C. I am going to plan on going to that one because it sounds just really great. For those of you that don't know about Food Tank, check it out online. Great organization. Danielle Nuremberg has been involved in so many other organizations before starting this one on her own. So check all those things out. I want to share with you all a recipe. I also want to encourage you all to go onto my website. There's so many things that I talk about that are in the news. For those of you that don't know, Oregon is in the process of recounting all the ballots for the GMO labeling law that they are trying to pass there. It was called very early on that it was defeated, but however, it was not, and they are recounting every single vote. It is so close, they're within, I think, 800 votes of each other. So that process is taking place right now. So we're waiting to hear what's going to happen in Oregon. And lots of other really good things in the news. Obama, of course, is trying to move forward with his environmental legacy, using the Clean Air Act as his platform to push things through, since Congress is not cooperating, to say the least. So, you know, I certainly honor that, and I'm glad to see that he's doing that. There's one thing, undertake action, that I ask you all to do is to try to let them know that you do not, that you would like the part of that that act where they talk about nuclear power, you'd like to have that removed from the bill that he's trying to push through the Clean Air Act. We do not want to encourage nuclear power plants to expand and continue. We would really like to emphasize clean, renewable energies like wind, solar, geothermal, and those kind of things. So please take a look at my Take Action and in the news on my website at IE Green. Very informative. And if you don't get my emails, please sign up for those. They also will keep you in the loop every week. So the recipe I want to share with you this week is an Ayurvedic vegetable dish. It's called the Sattvic Vegetable Stir Fry with Rice Noodles. And Sattvic means calming to the mind. And many people that are on a spiritual journey and meditating a lot try to avoid garlic and onions because they're very stimulating to the mind. So this is very similar to other stir fries I do. It just has eliminated the onions and the garlic. And believe it or not, it's still delicious. Hard to believe, but it is. So this is the recipe. These are the ingredients you need. Grated ginger, 2 tablespoons of grated ginger, 2 carrots cut into matchsticks, 1 head of cauliflower cut into flowerettes, 1 eggplant, and that would be either, 1 larger Italian eggplant, or you can use a couple Japanese eggplants, 4 cups of green beans, 1/2 a red pepper, 1/2 a yellow pepper or orange pepper, 1 tablespoon of tamari, which is a soy sauce that is gluten-free and aged a little bit longer, and 1 tablespoon of aji marin. Then for the noodles, you need 1 package of rice noodles, 1/2 cup tahini, 1/2 cup water, 1 tablespoon tamari, 3 tablespoons dark sesame oil. That's different than cooking sesame oil. 2 tablespoons aji marin and toasted sesame seeds. So you're going to start by bringing a large pot of water to boil and cook the rice noodles according to the directions. Meanwhile, while the noodles and the water is coming to a boil, pull out your wok and cover the bottom with some oil. And when the oil is hot, you're going to add the ginger and the carrots. Continue cooking at medium-high heat, stirring constantly for about 5 minutes. If you have any other root vegetables that you want to add, this would be the time to do it. If you want to put in some parsnips or some rutabaga, you can do that. And you're going to continue cooking that for 5 minutes. Then add the cauliflower and the eggplant and cook that for another 5 minutes until the eggplant and cauliflower start to soften. Add more oil or a little water if it's starting to stick to the pan. Then you're going to add the green beans and the peppers and the tamari and the mirin. And the tamari and the mirin will help to put some moisture into the wok and allow the green beans to steam a little bit and cook a little faster. And you're going to cook that for a few minutes at high heat until the beans and the cauliflower are cooked to the right consistency. And you're going to remove that from the heat, and then a small little blender or mini Cuisinart, you're going to mix up the sauce for the noodles. So you're going to put the tahini, the ginger, the tamari, the sesame oil, and the mirin all into that and just pulse it. And then you're going to pour that right over the noodles. If it seems too thick, you can add a little water to this sauce to thin it out a little bit more. And you toss the sauce all through the noodles, put that into a beautiful pasta bowl, and then top it with the vegetables so it's really a beautiful presentation. And then garnish it with toasted sesame seeds. And to toast them, I just buy already hulled sesame seeds and put them in a heavy cast iron frying pan over a high heat and just shake them, and you'll hear them starting to pop. And that's just toasting them. And what that does, whenever you're using seeds or nuts, by doing that, you're bringing out the flavor so that they really add to the dish. They're not just garnish. And that's it. It's a really simple, quick-to-prepare dish, delicious, and let me know how you like it when you make it. I love those comments, so keep them coming in. Okay, and now it's my pleasure to introduce today's guest. My guest today is Kenny Friedman, and he is the founder and coordinator of Nourishing Long Island Food Buyers Club. And his introduction to eating healthy and living came about from his own personal life story. And that pretty much started around 2009. He's been on a path of healing himself and seeking out healthier foods since then. And in that process, he found a farmer who was delivering organic dairy and meats to Long Island. And over time, this farmer was having a hard time balancing his work on the farm with the delivery process. So they decided to separate those. And Kenny became the coordinator and launched in 2013 Nourishing Long Island Food Buyers Club. So I'm going to let him tell us more about it. Kenny, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Welcome.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Good morning.
Good morning. So why don't you share with everyone a little bit of your history, how you came about the discovery of healthier foods, because I know you wrote that to me, and it was quite an interesting story, and it's the kind of story that people like to hear, because there's so many people in the same boat who are struggling with their health and, you know, don't quite make that change or that transition, so maybe you can inspire them.
Yeah, well, I think that we have a mindset in this country that healing comes from the outside. You need a pill or something else from the outside that's going to make you feel better on the inside. And I found that healing starts on the inside and works its way out. So it started with me. Before food, there was a book called Healing Back Pain with Dr. John Sarno. And he had a theory that the brain was manipulating blood flow to the neck and back, and thus opening them up and making them more susceptible to spasm. And by simply training your brain to bring a subconscious process to your conscious mind, you're able to get rid of back pain by making sure that your muscles are being supplied adequately with blood and oxygen. And I went from going to have probably anywhere between 2 and 4 back spasms a year from my teen years, all the way through college, all the way through fatherhood and 2 marriages, to not ever having another one after reading that book. And I discovered that, wow, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I don't need a pill. Maybe I don't need surgery.
Uh-huh. My husband also read that book and had a similar experience.
Yeah, it requires a lot of identification with the personality types involved. So, you know, some people, I have friends who just insist that they say, I have a herniated disc and that's why my back hurts, period. And that's the end of it. And you really can't convince them, and the book is not going to help them, because it does require a certain amount of belief in what you're doing and that this is really what's going on in your body rather than just normal degenerative disease. So from there, I had not really discovered real food at that point yet. I discovered real food. I was dealing with some acid reflux issues, and I self-medicated with Prevacid or some other PPI drug. Just fortunately, I was not doing that long term. I only did it once, and I took to Facebook with my complaint, saying that it's Saturday night and this is when I always get my reflux, and it's getting worse and the drugs aren't helping. And with that, an old friend of mine from high school who had gone into the holistic nutrition and acupuncture field reached out to me, and he said, listen, I think I can help you. And the solution is not what conventional medicine would have you think. And having this knowledge in my pocket from my back injuries from a year before or 2 years before, I was willing to listen. I said, let me know what you got. And we spent a lot of time on the phone. He explained to me that acid reflux, where the conventional wisdom says that you have too much stomach acid and it's splashing up, his explanation was that there's not enough stomach acid and your food is not digesting properly and it's starting to ferment in your gut, and that's what's pushing up. So he helped me work on my digestion. He helped me clean up my diet, and he started to educate me about what is wrong.
And more fermented foods into your diet, I bet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. I was eating cultured vegetables from a company here on Long Island called Immunutrition. I'll give them a little plug. They have wonderful fermented vegetables, and if you're just a little bit handy in the kitchen, it's very easy to make them yourself also. It requires a little more than cabbage and salt or peppers and salt or any mixture that you can come up with. It's a great way to eat raw and replenish your gut flora.
Uh-huh.
So I found real food through my friend from high school. His name is Brett Shulman. And Brett also introduced me to these farmers who were bringing food to Long Island, as he mentioned earlier. And I started ordering the farms were mostly bringing meat, dairy, and eggs to Long Island. And I started ordering from them. And I went through this wonderful transformation. Only over a few months, probably within 2 or 3 months, I was off of my asthma inhaler. I was off of my allergy medications. I stopped getting sinus infections, which I was getting 3 or 4 times a year at that point. I'm an avid tennis player. I used to have to medicate myself with Advil before I played to keep my joints greased. And all of that went by the wayside. I think in the last 4 years, I've probably taken a total of 10 pills over the counter or under the counter. Either way, I don't find myself needing medication anymore.
Uh-huh.
And this is
That's
just from
great.
The simple healing of the gut and just paying attention to what I eat.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, as I study more and more, it seems like the root cause of most health problems come from an inflammatory condition of the gut. And people don't realize that. And that's one of the questions that so many people have about genetically modified foods. It kind of keeps one's gut in a constant state of inflammation. And,
yep.
You know, there's people will say, well, there's not proof of it. And, of course, we can respond by saying that that's because there's not enough money to fund the research. The research that's funded is all funded by the GMO companies. So there's not a lot of proof and, you know, tests that have been done, but it is many people in the health field's gut, no pun intended, feeling is that this constant inflammation that we all have from all the pesticides that we are ingesting is causing so much of our problems.
For sure. Inflammation is at the root of all chronic disease, and it's not just GMOs. It's also sugar. It's also smoking. It's also stress. It's also lack of sleep. And these are all things that are very much inherent in today's culture and society. The parents are feeding their children these Capri Sun drink boxes or even the Mott's apple juice that's pasteurized within an inch of its life, and they don't realize how much sugar they're taking in a day, and it takes its toll.
Right, right. So can you shed some light for myself and my listeners on how a buying club differs from a CSA or a food co-op, let's say?
Well, our buying club is a nice companion to a CSA. We get access to a lot of products, but produce is not one of them. So where you might belong to a CSA and you know that box is coming every Tuesday or Thursday or whenever you pick it up, whether you need it or not, whether you finished last week's or not, and it's a great thing, and I certainly don't discourage it, but the buying club differs from a CSA in that you only order what you want. You place an individual order. You are not obligated to place an order every single week. We have members that order once a month, and that's perfectly fine. And we have plenty of members who order every week because they like the fresh dairy. So it's really up to the individual what they want to order, and there's nothing coming for you that you didn't order or that you didn't want or that you didn't need. And the difference between the buying club and a co-op, which is the other popular way to get food, is that there's no work requirement. The only thing the member is expected to do is put their order in by Tuesday and to go pick it up on Saturday at the central pickup location.
Uh-huh.
The other thing about the buying club is that we're able to get the administrative and accounting work off the farmer's desk. With 100 or 200 people buying every week and paying as individuals, there's a lot of bookkeeping involved for a farmer who really just wants to be out in the fields cultivating crops and feeding animals. So because we are buying as one and managing ourselves as far as the money goes, the collection of money, the farmer doesn't have that expense and those hours to incur. So they're able to get us the food for less money than, say, a farm or an organization that has accountants working for it and has to have a writer sheet attached to the business.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It's usually different types of brains, too, that want to deal with the numbers versus, being outdoors.
For sure. That's my contribution to the movement here on Long Island. I have been out to the farm and I've collected eggs and I've gone through a day in the life of the farmer and done the chores. And I can tell you, I am not a farmer. I'm not cut out for that kind of work. I'm not cut out for the hours, but what I can offer and what I can contribute and what I'm proud to offer and contribute is the ability to bring people together as a community, the ability to make a system that can manage all of the numbers and this many people buying food every week or every month, whenever they decide to buy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I too, because I do grow my vegetables in the summer, but I'm really doing it for personal use. I'm not, and my cooking classes and stuff, I'm not growing the volume, the amount that a farmer does, but enough so that I really have gotten to understand and appreciate the work that goes into it. And when you do, then you're much more willing to pay the true cost of what it is worth. I mean, there's nothing more important and nothing better that we can spend our money on than good, high-quality food.
For sure. I sometimes I'm left with just a little bit left on my plate, and it's not quite enough to put on a Tupperware, but I'm full, and it's like, what do you do with that last piece? I know that it took somebody a whole lot of work to make this food. Do I just eat it, or can I bring myself to throw it out? Sometimes it's a tough choice. I think there's a poem that's something like, the end of dinner time, not enough to save, not enough to dump, keeps everybody nice and plump, or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what dogs are good for.
Yeah.
And how does pasture raised? I know you talk about pasture raised a lot. How does that differ from an organic label that you might see in the supermarket?
Well, food that's raised on pasture is the gold standard. You can raise an animal as quote unquote organic and not feed it GMOs and not feed it pesticides, antibiotics, and all the other toxic stuff that's in today's food system. But if the animal is living naturally, if the animal is in a confined place, and doesn't get sunshine, doesn't have access to grass and bugs and all the other things that go with being outside, the animal is going to have stress. And the animal is not going to get the nutrients from the soil. So you can take 10,000 chickens, if you're Purdue, and feed these chickens inside with one little door that leads to the outside and call them free range, which is really what the standard is for the USDA. And these still are not going to have the nutritional position in their eggs or in their flesh, if you choose to eat flesh, that that a pasture-raised animal will. You get the vitamin D from the sunlight. You get the protein from the bugs that they eat. You get the omega-3s from the grass that they're eating. So there's a world of difference between organic and pasture-raised.
Now, when they say pasture-raised, are they also being fed grains? Or are they only eating pasture?
It depends on the animal. The cows and beef on the farm are 100% grass-fed. Chickens are not necessarily grass-fed animals, so their feed comes about 50% from the pasture and 50% from supplemental feed. And our farmer grows all the feed himself. He's got a property owned by his in-laws that he raises all of the feed for his animals right at the farm. So he knows.
And they're GMO free feed,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's so important because sometimes people think they don't eat GMOs, but they eat chicken that are eating GMOs. And it was funny when I had someone on my show and we were talking about GMOs, that we were talking about secondhand GMOs, the same way you'd have secondhand smoke. If you're eating chickens that are eating GMOs, well, then you are eating GMOs, basically. So
certainly, it definitely passes through, and it's an interesting question, and it also goes to the labeling. Can you label, if they do ever get around to labeling GMOs, will they be able to label meat GMO-free because the meat itself doesn't have GMOs in it, or does it, if that's what they're feeding it? So it's a long road, that GMO labeling, and it's, while I would like to see it, and I think it's the right thing to do, I think that we as individuals are perfectly able to figure out if we're eating GMOs and make the choice just by simply buying organic.
Yeah, if you have that, the luxury to be able to afford that. So that's the thing that I hear all the time, from people when I'm talking to them, if they are, what do you do if you are don't have that luxury of that extra bit of money, and, kind of looking at your budget and trying to figure out where you can maybe gain some extra dollars to put into your food, and, what things you can do without, and what things are necessary to buy that way, and what things are not as important. That's why I love, the environmental working groups, Dirty Dozen list and Clean 15 list and How to Avoid GMO list. And, they have a lot of great resources that help you, because everyone's not in the same socioeconomic circle that, some of us are, and it's much more challenging. And yet we want to help them be able to eat as well as us, because that's really a right. Everybody should be entitled to this quality of food. It should not be an elitist thing at all. It needs to be food that everybody can have. So
for sure. But when you start looking at the costs, before I became enlightened and aware of what I was putting in my body, I was spending hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars of years on doctors and prescriptions. And by cleaning up my diet and paying a little extra for my food, I found myself with the money to pay for it, because I didn't have to visit doctors anymore.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And that's something that, we need to share with people so that they know that, some people are in different situations where they're not necessarily going to the doctors either, mm-hmm. So, trying to get this food and access to this food to everybody is, something that is just, one of those really important things. But anyway, before we go on, I really want to talk to you about your buying club and how that works and how people can become members and some of the wonderful surprises that came out of the forming of this club. But before we do, let's take a couple-minute break. And when we come back, we'll go into that, okay?
Sounds good.
Everybody, I'm talking with Kenny Friedman, the founder of Nourishing Long Island Food Buyers Club. And I'm Bhavani at IE Green. And I'll be right back. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm here with my guest today, Kenny Friedman. He's the founder of Nourishing Long Island Food Buyers Club. Kenny, you with me?
Hi, I'm with you.
So, you know, before we took the break, I was just starting to get into what makes the food buying club, well, we talked about what makes it different than a CSA and a co-op, but how does it work and how is it if somebody wanted to become a member? Is there a membership fee? Do they, you said they can order as often as they want. Share that with us. How does that work?
Sure. Well, people can get more information and become members in a very simple membership process. Our website is Nourishing, NourishingLi.com, NourishingLi.com. And when you get to the page for the first time, you'll see a button on the right that says Membership Info and Registration, and you click it, and it gives you all sorts of information about who we are and what we do and what our mission is as a group. If you read through it and you like what you see, there's a green button on the bottom of the page that says Sign Me Up, and that will take you to the page to become a member. The membership dues are $35 per year, which I think is pretty nominal, $3 a month or so. And what you're joining with that $35 is you're joining Nourishing Long Island for $15. And then you're joining a group of small farmers, made their own organization called CARE, C-A-R-E, which is Communities Alliance for Responsible Eco-Farming. And CARE is a group that upholds beyond organic standards without going through the paperwork and hassles and expense of getting the USDA organic label. They have the farmers doing water testing and milk testing, land testing, soil testing, making sure that everybody is adhering to the standards set forth by the group. And that's $20. So the total membership is $35. Once you become a member, the process is you will place your order anytime between Wednesday and Tuesday at midnight. Like I said, you order what you want. If you don't need anything that week, then you don't log in. That's as easy as it is. You'll place your order. You'll pay for your order online. The money goes into an account that is pooled for the group. The orders get sent over either to the farm or our supplier's warehouse here on Long Island. And the orders get packed with the individual member's name on it. The farmer sends me a bill usually on Friday, Thursday night or Friday, and the bill gets paid to the farmer all at once out of the account that the payments all went into.
Uh-huh.
When you place your order on Tuesday, you select a pickup location. We have just a two-week cycle. Some of the pickup sites are serviced every week. Some of them are serviced every 2 weeks. They're pretty centrally located. There are, I think we have 14 or 15 at this point, between Staten Island and the southeastern end of Long Island and everywhere in between. I tried to make it so nobody has to drive more than about 15 minutes to go pick up their order on Saturday morning.
Cool. Uh-huh.
It's very simple. The pickups are simple. Most things are labeled with the member's name right on it. And you walk in, you look at your invoice, you make sure you take all your stuff, and you drive away.
And how do the prices compare to, let's say, you were buying organic at Whole Foods? Is it about the same? Is it, you know, and it's higher quality, or is it about, you know, is it a little bit more, but it's higher quality? How do the prices compare?
I would say for the most part, the prices are probably comparable, if not a little lower, than at Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
And the quality in most cases, and I don't want to make any blanket statements here, but I would say that the quality exceeds that of what you can find at a Whole Foods or a Wild by Nature or any of the other supermarkets that cater to our type of clientele. I'm sure that the meat prices are better through us than you could get through the kind of the supermarket.
Uh-huh.
And I can give you an example. A dozen pasture-raised eggs through us will cost you $4.50, where Whole Foods would probably pay $7, $8, $9 for similar.
And these pasture-raised, but they are also organic, yes?
Yes. Well, the pasture is untreated, and the supplemental feed is just growing out of fields using organic practices. So not only are the chickens organic, but the eggs are organic as well.
Uh-huh.
One of the nice things, just getting a little off topic, but one of the nice things about this small of a movement and having a kind of a contained supplier is that you can go out and visit the farm and see the hens that are laying the eggs that are on your breakfast table every morning and see what kind of conditions they're living in and be with them and stand with them. I remember the first trip I took out to the farm, and I stood on the pasture with the dairy herd. He's got about 28 or 30 cows at this point. And by the time I'd gone out there, I had been drinking the milk probably for a year and a half or so. And I remember standing on the pasture with the dairy herd and just feeling this visceral connection with them. The milk from their bodies, it comes from the grass that I'm standing on. And I'm standing next to these cows that are sort of flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. These are the creatures that are nourishing me. And it was a very unexpected and powerful feeling to be able to go and stand on the pasture with these animals.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Anyway, that was my tangent about knowing your farm. There's uh-huh. Such a disconnect in our generation and the generation before us that doesn't have any concept or idea of where the food comes from. You pick it up and it's in a nice styrofoam package in the supermarket, and that's the end of it. People don't
right.
really give it a second thought beyond that. It's really taken its toll on our culture and our health.
It's so true. So true. And I know when we were talking, you were surprised at some of the other wonderful benefits that kind of came out of the forming of this group that you actually weren't expecting. You want to share with everybody
Absolutely.
Listening some of those wonderful surprises that you discovered?
Yeah, well, this group had been in existence in a little more of a disorganized form for a few years before we switched over to buying as a group. And once we had a group with a name, it became a community. I set up a Facebook group at the request and suggestion of one of our members that only members are allowed to have access to. I have a lock and a key, and I open the door for people that have already joined. And I was a little gun shy about doing this because people have privacy concerns and things like that. But I said, you know what? It's voluntary. If you want to be a part, you can be a part. And within a few days, I had people on this Facebook group
yes.
talking about nourishing themselves and nourishing their families. And what do you eat when you're trying to get pregnant? What do you eat postpartum? What CSA do you belong to? What kind of cookware do you use? How do you season a cast iron pan? And there were people interacting who never might have met. And it was just such a beautiful thing to have this community, which was not something we were setting out to do when we formed the buying club. We just wanted to streamline the process for the farmer and make everyone's life a little easier. And this community has grown out of it, where people have access to other people who eat the same way and think the same way and have the same sensibilities. My friend Brett, who I mentioned before, he describes it as the home planet. You can walk around on a foreign planet and be one of 1,000 people who is like you. And when you go home to the home planet and you walk around, everyone is like you. And people can go to this group and feel safe about the foods that they consume and the lengths that they go to and the prices that they pay, and not have to cut through any kind of a pretense that you might have to cut through with the person who sits in the cubicle next to you at work and goes out to Panera every day.
Uh-huh.
So it's nice to have a home base that you can ask questions and you can offer information to others who have questions. From that community, we grew out into having events. We have had numerous potlucks where people make food based on a theme. We had a potluck. We've had a couple of fall harvest potlucks.
This is Matt Witt.
Matt, this is
and
Steve.
People get to meet each other, and they get to talk about health issues.
We're all getting ready to go a little bit earlier. We could not connect with my other guest. He's halfway around the world at a hotel, Matt, and the hotel said no one by his name is there, which confuses me. I'll get it straightened out with him and get him rescheduled.
And you said out of that, you took it to the next step, you made a practitioner database.
Is that okay with you to begin the program now?
What is
that? Oh, yeah. Well,
okay, I'm all set.
I have a lot of access. There are many holistic practitioners in our group. We have acupuncturists. We have chiropractors. We have nutrition response testing practitioners, massage therapists, physical trainers, health coaches. And people from the group would ask me, as the person at the head of the group, I need somebody in my neighborhood. I want to find a chiropractor who understands the food that I have access to and the way that I eat without steering me into traditional American dietary dogma. So I created the member practitioner database, and I solicited the whole group. And the practitioners all filled out a questionnaire, letting me know who they are, what they do, where they're located, how to get in touch with them, and what their own personal story is and their background is. And through our website, once members join, they're able to click a button and find a practitioner in their neighborhood whose philosophy agrees with their own. And
welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Littman. My guest today is Matt Witt. Matt is a full professor of public administration at Laverne University in California. Matt, congratulations on the promotion. It couldn't happen to a more well-deserved individual. Strong academic, strong views on the right side of history, as I like to say. Matt, it's great having you back on the program. A belated congratulations.
So do the people, the practitioners have to become members first before they can be listed in that database?
Oh, it's great having you back on. There's always so much going on
in the database.
I've been writing about
members.
So many issues.
People who are
specifically is on your mind. This morning I wrote an article I just finished on the situation on the cop in New York who got away with killing a man in Staten Island. And, of course, the Ferguson issue is still resonating, plus all of the other issues going on.
How large is your membership?
One of these. I'll let you pick
an
issue that you want to discuss first. Then we can go to others.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's grown very fast, and it's rewarding to be on the front line and seeing people wake up. When I first had all the success 4 years ago that I had mentioned earlier, I wanted to get up on my roof and pound my chest and shout to anybody who would listen what I had found out and how bad people are just poisoning themselves on a regular basis. So it's really heartening to see this taking shape and to see people listening. To whatever extent they're listening, even listening a little is better than listening not at all.
Right. And what would you say is the number one thing that you personally have learned about our food system that you wish you had known sooner?
Oh, I think a lot of that comes from when I was raising my children. I was a single father for a long time, and I would cook dinners at home, but I was really just cooking the wrong stuff. And I was not aware of the toxicity of food dyes and hydrogenated oils. And my kids were going to school every day on a Pop-Tart and a glass of juice, and then were wondering why they're having trouble focusing in the classroom. So I have a lot of regret from not learning how to nourish my family sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard one. I know I speak to parents a lot, and, you know, and the young people are the ones that need this food more than anybody. I mean, we all need it, but especially when their bodies are forming and their minds are growing, having the right nutrition is so important.
Well, sure, it's learning by example. We have quite a few members that are in their 20s who have figured out that something's up with the food system, And these members are my favorite ones because they figured it out so much sooner than I did. I'm actually a little jealous in a way. But they figured it out sooner than a lot of people in our generation. It's very heartening to see young people taking their health into their own hands, especially when the focus these days on bringing up children has them relying on parents and teachers and doctors and coaches to make their choices for them. So, and those choices that those people are giving are not generally good choices. So when you can get a young person to listen and get them engaged and involved, I think that you're not just helping that person, you're helping a generation.
And you said you don't focus so much on produce. Your buying club is more dealing with the meats and the cheeses and the milk and stuff, correct?
Yeah, I think that our supplier farm is regionally local, but there's plenty of good produce being grown on Long Island. There's Halsey's Green Thumb out in the Hamptons. There's Sang Lee. There's Restoration Farm here in Bethpage. There are so many places to get fresh local produce, especially in season. Obviously, it's getting into the winter, and you may have to go a little further for your organic produce. But I just don't see any reason to get people away from that by offering it myself. And also, it's subjective. If you look at a stack of cucumbers in the supermarket, you and I would probably pick different cucumbers or a different head of lettuce. It just seems like it's too subjective. I think the produce selection is much more hands-on, whereas a pastured egg is a pastured egg. It's going to have a slight difference in its size, but it's not going to...
Well, the truth is, I mean, you're talking about picking out produce that has been traveling a far distance, mostly in the supermarket. So, yes, one is going to pick a firmer, ripe, you know, hardier cucumber than someone that's soft and bruised. But the truth is, the people that, you know, are shopping from CSAs or farmers markets are getting beautiful stuff. All of it's beautiful, you know? Well,
sure.
It should all be beautiful.
Sure, but do you want the big cabbage head or do you want the small cabbage head? What suits your needs? It opens
right.
Too much of a Pandora's box of customer service issues, and there's plenty of produce here to go around, and I'd rather support the farmers here than support the farmers elsewhere.
That makes perfect sense. So anyway, we're just about out of time. Can you share again with everybody listening the website for Nourishing Long Island Food Buyers Club and how to get in touch with you if they have a question?
Sure. Again, the web address is Nourishing, Nourishing, L-I, like Long Island, nourishingli.com. Click on the button on the right for more info, and it gives you lots of information about the foods that we carry. I know we're running out of time, but in addition to food, we've also ventured out into cosmetics and personal care products. We have some regionally local suppliers, one called Poopy Organics out in Rutherford, New Jersey, and they're making homebrew batches of lotions and soaps and all sorts of body care and facial care products, and we offer them through our group at a discount. And we have about 15 suppliers at this point that have all been vetted, and they're all good companies who are making good products, and we're able to get them to members at prices lower than you can generally find on the Internet because we're
great.
Able to buy a bulk, and we don't have too much of an overhead at this point.
And that's all on the same website?
Yep, you can find out who our suppliers are and all the different types of products that we offer right on the website. There's a wealth of information there, and there's a link to ask questions. If you have a question, I answer every email personally, and if you're the type of person to prefer a phone call, I'm happy to take a phone call.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Kenny, and everybody out there listening, thank you for joining us. Remember, if you're interested in volunteering for the Christmas event coming up, send me an email at Bhavani@IEatGreen. And I hope to see many of you tonight at the Cinema Arts Center for Triple Divide, the fracking movie from New Yorkers Against Fracking. Anyway, have a great rest of the week, and bye for now.